the legislation, the sins that they pass and say, this is sin, it's not a sin, just do it. Listen, we don't hold that view. And when we don't, we're looked upon as hate speech, if you will. Or, you know, you're not tolerant and you're narrow-minded. No, I'm God-minded. I'm Bible-minded. And that's the way I'm going to stay. Amen?
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Love Never Fails. Pastor Bill's study from 2 Timothy continues today with the message titled, The Bible Is. In the text today, it's an invitation to ground your faith in two immovable realities, the steadfast witness of faithful believers who have gone before, and the inerrant, divinely inspired Word of God. Now, let's join Pastor.
You know, on this sad day, we turn to the greatest news in the entire world. Amen? And that is the Bible. I pray your Bible is open, or your iPad or your iPhone, whatever you use, but I hope it's open to the Word of God this morning. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. So we return this morning to the Mamertine prison where Paul is awaiting execution. And he was warning Timothy, remember last week, that perilous times, savage times, fierce times would come in the last days. And of course, they're already here. And the perilous times, the dangerous times, the savage days, has nothing to do with famine, remember, earthquakes, pestilence, or any of those things. But it has to do with the characteristics. Matter of fact, I think there are 19 or 20 characteristics of people in the last days. But those were people in the church. Remember? Hello? Now, so how do you survive that? Well, so Paul tells Timothy. This morning, the title of the sermon is this. The Bible is. Say that with me. The Bible is. Let's find out this morning what the Bible is, beginning in verse 10. Paul says, but you, Timothy, listen, you have followed my doctrine. You followed my manner of life. You've followed my purpose, my faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. So, but you, there's a contrast. Paul is contrasting Timothy with those that we learned about last Sunday, those who have a form of godliness. They act godly, they look godly, they sound godly, but they deny the power within. They have no inner power. They've never received Jesus Christ as their Lord. They were false teachers. And he says, Timothy, here's how you're going to survive anything that you go through in your life, and this is how we're going to survive anything that we go through in our life, even 9/11. And that is, like Paul said, he said, you have carefully, Timothy, followed, and he starts off with, he says, they're my manner of life. Now listen, carefully followed. That word literally means, Timothy, I met you in Lystra. Since you were that teenage boy that came to Christ, he says, and you followed me. You've gone on the missionary trips and all that with me. And now you're still with me. You're the pastor of the church at Ephesus. He says, listen to me. The word followed me means you followed me step by step. You stayed close by me. In other words, Paul was Timothy's example and model. How would you like Paul the apostle to be your example? Amen? To follow him, to be trained by Paul. And that's what he's saying right here. And he says, Timothy, you know all about me. And so in these verses, he lists nine things. Seven are in verse 10. He starts off with the first one. He says, you have carefully followed me step by step in doctrine. That word, of course, means Paul's teachings. And what did Paul teach? He taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he also penned 14 epistles, amen? So Timothy was aware of all of those things. He also said, you followed my manner of life. And I'm going to go through these seven things very quickly, okay? He says, you've also followed my manner of life. Paul says, you know what, Timothy? You know how I lived. You know my conduct. You know all about my lifestyle. Paul practiced what he preached, didn't he? He practiced what he preached to the very end. He only has days before he's going to be executed, and he's writing this letter to Timothy. And he says here, you know exactly my conduct. What did Paul tell us about his conduct? I could not pen this scripture that he penned, Philippians 1:21. Paul says, for me to live is, can you write that? I mean, we can say today, for me to live is my job. For me to live is my family. For me to live is fame or whatever the world teaches. But Paul says, for me in my life, my will is swallowed up in the will of another. For me to live the life that I am living, Timothy, oh, listen, I live for Jesus Christ. No wonder Paul could tell the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He says, imitate me. Act just like me. Do the things I do. Imitate me as I imitate our Lord. Boy, listen, that goes for all of us, doesn't it? Should we not be imitators of Christ? Absolutely. 1 John 2:6, he who says he abides in him should walk even as he walked. So, Timothy, you followed my manner of life. Now, you've followed step by step my purpose in life. And what was Paul's purpose? Remember, Jesus himself called him to be an apostle, a bondservant of the Lord. He was the apostle to the Gentiles, all the Gentile world. And he says here, his faith. No one trusted God like Paul. Amen? I mean, he never trusted man, even to meet his needs. He would go out and make tents, support his ministry, and all those people that were with him, serving with him, he supported them too. So he had great faith. And how about long suffering? He would rather be accursed, he said, remember? He said, Lord, I'd rather be damned. I'd rather go to hell than for the Jewish people to be lost. Boy, you're talking about a long suffering person who loved people. And then my favorite one is love. Did you know the word, of course, love is agape? It appears 71 times in Paul's epistles, and none of Paul's epistle is absent from the word agape. Matter of fact, love is what just pushed his life, if you will. Remember in 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul writes, he says, for it is the love of Christ that compels me. That word compels means it has a hold upon my life. It wasn't Paul's love for Jesus. It was Jesus' love for Paul. He says, man, it's got a grip on my life. I have to preach. I have to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what I like about Paul? Did Paul write 1 Corinthians chapter 13?
Yes.
Is chapter 13 about love?
Yes.
Did you know that Paul penned love never fails? And he said, well, Bill, that's no big deal. It's a big deal to me. Paul penned that, and I love Paul. I want to meet him. I have learned more from Paul. I've learned more from Jesus, but next from Paul than any other person in the Bible. He's one of the greatest men that ever lived, the greatest apostle that ever walked the face of this earth. He said, love never fails. What a word, a living word that comes from your Bible, amen, from heaven. Now, and also he says, look at this, perseverance. We know that Paul never quit. He never gave up, even to the very end. And also, and I'm setting this up for our sermon, by the way. We're rushing through this part. He also was very aware of Paul's sufferings. Look at verse 11. Persecutions, Paul writes, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the hometown of Timothy. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. So if you want to read Acts chapter 13 through chapter 18, you'll find out a lot of those where Paul was stoned and left for dead and the rest of it. Matter of fact, later on when we get to Acts chapter 18, when Paul is there in Corinth, he comes in. And remember, the Lord appeared to him, it says in the book of Acts, I think it's the 9th verse of 18. He appears to him at night in a vision. And he says, Paul. He says, don't be afraid, but speak. And Paul, you have to speak. He says, no one is going to hurt you. No one is going to attack you. You know, meaning Paul, if you read Acts 13 and following, he had been suffering one attack, one beating after another. Even in the stocks in Acts 16, there in the dungeon and so forth. So Jesus appeared to him. He says, oh, Paul, listen, I have many people in this city. And how long did Paul stay there? A year and a half, and look at the great church that came. Now, the reason that he said that, when you study the Bible, do you go, now, Paul, why would you mention that to Timothy? You are in prison right now. You're on death row. You're waiting to be killed, murdered by Nero. Why would Paul even pen this? Why would he even review any of his persecutions, if you will? I know why. Because Paul wants Timothy to know something, and boy, does he want this church to know something as well. And what Paul is saying here is that he did not in any way regard his suffering, his afflictions, his persecution as something strange that happens in the life of those who love Jesus Christ. He didn't think that strange at all. And matter of fact, that is the cost, isn't it? Amen. That's the cost of following Jesus. What did the Lord say? Tell the disciples and us in John 16:33. He says, I have spoken these things unto you that you might have peace. In the world, you will have what? Tribulation. Look that word up. It's not a happy word. That's a promise, a tribulation promise. You will have tribulation in this world. But then he says, but be of good cheer. He says, I've overcome this world. And loved one, if you're in Christ Jesus, you have overcome everything in this world too. Amen? Yes, praise the Lord for that. And so here, that's why he flows right into verse 12. And he says, yes, Timothy, listen, and Calvary Chapel. He says, and all who desire... You desire to live godly? You desire to live for Jesus? You desire to live godly in Christ Jesus for his sake? Look at what he says, will suffer persecution. The word persecution used here literally means hunted down like an animal. You know, let me tell you something. We're not affected by persecution a lot in our nation. We are, but not a lot like the world. But loved one, real Christians are not liked. Amen? Amen? No, I mean a real Christian. I don't mean a Jesus namer. I mean a Jesus follower. Real Christianity is hated today, hated and despised. Listen, I don't know if you know this or not, but the body of Christ in America, they've given us the world, the government, they've given us a brand new identity. In other words, they look at us and they see a problem now. And the reason they see us as a problem is because we hold the real Christians, real Christianity, we still hold to a biblical worldview. We believe the Word of God. We believe that God cannot lie. We believe that all the scriptures and all the books are from our Father in heaven. Amen? And we also believe that you can pass and legislate sin and pass sin all you want to, but we're not going to agree with that. And because of that, they don't like you. If you stand for the truth. Listen, I love the lost. I love everybody that's doing whatever they do, but I also love Jesus more. And I love the Word of God more, and I'm not going to water it down for the sake of this world. Amen? No. And so now, if you hold views of all the legislation, the sins that they pass, and say this is sin, it's not a sin, just do it. Listen, we don't hold that view. And when we don't, we're looked upon as hate speech, if you will. Or, you know, you're not tolerant and you're narrow-minded. No, I'm God-minded. I'm Bible-minded. And that's the way I'm going to stay. Amen? So every Christian, talking about persecution, every Christian should ask themselves two questions, okay? The first question is this, do you really want to be like Jesus? Everybody, of course, me too. So if you really want to be like Jesus, here's the next question. Are you willing to be treated by others like Jesus was? You have to ask yourself, really, see, that question. Jesus already told us in John 15:18, he said, listen, if the world hates you, well, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, and I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. John the apostle of love, writes in 1 John 3:13. He says, do not marvel. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Don't be blown away. Do not marvel if the world hates you. Let me add to that. If we're going to be hated, let's be hated for the right reason, for his sake, not because we're working at a company and trying to win everybody to Christ during when they're paying us. Amen? Oh, that went over well. Verse 13, but evil men, Timothy, Calvary Chapel, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. Look at their condition now. Deceiving and being deceived. You know, the Bible says about evil, it says it in Proverbs 10:23, I believe it is. It says, evil is like sport to a fool. It's like a game. You know, I work out so I can do evil and do wickedness and so forth. And so this scripture, I use it often with other people. I say, the world is not going to get better. Does that make sense? The world is going to get worse and worse and worse. And that's a picture of the days we're living in. Now listen, the word evil, there where it says evil men, okay? The word evil here in the Greek, okay, is literally means this, full of labors and pains, okay? It's a picture, if you will, of a woman like giving birth. And so they're in labor, they're in birth pangs, if you will, to do one thing. They want to birth wickedness and evil wherever they go. That's what they do. And then the word imposters is used here, and I believe that one is only used there in the Greek. And it literally, the word means to wail and to howl and to scream and so forth. It's talking about sorcerers and those who do enchantments and so forth. But Paul uses it here to say that they are a deceiver and they are also a cheat. That's what they do in this life. Now, they grow worse and worse. Isn't it terrible? They deceive others, and yet they get deceived more and more and more. And you know what a false teacher does, and even those that don't know the Lord? They are literally wasting away their day of grace. Wasting it. Because one day grace will end. Amen? They're wasting it away. And not only that, they're like the people today that don't know the Lord, the false teachers. They're like the people in the day of Noah. You know, Noah, a preacher of righteousness for 120 years, he told them, there's a flood coming, man, and I'm building an ark and God's going to destroy the earth. They didn't believe him. They wasted away the long suffering of God, didn't they? And that's what's happening today, even as I speak. But the only way that we now are going to understand what is true and what is false, we have to understand what the Bible is. And that is so, so vital. Look at verse 14. He says, but, in other words, Timothy, don't let these imposters, don't let everything's going to grow worse. Don't worry about perilous times. Don't worry about any of it. Don't let it bother you. But you must do something. You must continue in the things which you have learned, meaning that you've learned from my example all these years, Timothy, and from the inspired Word of God, all right? And been assured of. See, you're convinced, Timothy, in your heart. Now watch this. Knowing from whom, now whom is plural, okay, here. Knowing from whom you have learned them. Who did Timothy learn God's Word from? From Paul, of course, and from his mother and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice. They were Jewish, okay? And he says, whom you've learned, and well, I love this scripture, that from childhood, not when they're teenagers, not when they're 18, not when they're 16, he says that from childhood, Timothy, you have known the holy scriptures, the sacred letters set apart for God's use. Here has to refer to, of course, the Old Covenant or the Old Testament. He says, which are able to make you what? Wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So, Timothy, he says, they make you wise. In other words, they give you understanding. When you read the Word of God from childhood like you have, he says it gives you understanding to look behind the Scripture and to where that Scripture truly points to, and it points to Jesus Christ is what he's saying. And, of course, Timothy was saved. Listen, there's something that happens when the Word of God opens up our eyes and our hearts. Amen? Do you know every time before I stand in this pulpit, I quote this Scripture from Psalm 119, 18, open my eyes, O Lord, and show me wondrous things from your word. Show me wondrous things from your word. Lord, would you make your word as I teach it alive for me too, alive in my heart. I want it. I want that same thing. You know, we have been born again through the word of God. Amen. 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The Bible is God's wisdom. Say that with me. The Bible is God's wisdom. And do you know what? Do you want God's wisdom? Will God's wisdom make you wise? Yes. Let me give you the scriptures. How about this one? Psalm 119:97. The psalmist writes, Oh Lord, how I love your word. It's my meditation all day. He didn't say it was my reading all day. He says, I meditate upon your word all day long. And listen to what it produces, meditating on God's word. He says, oh, yes, you through your commandments, here it comes, makes me wiser than my enemies. You want to be wise? Oh, you want to be wiser than your enemy? That's what he says there. He says, for they are ever with me. In other words, your word, oh God, your wisdom is my constant guide. He says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your word or your testimonies are my meditation. Again, he meditates upon it. He says, I understand more than the ancients, meaning the aged person like me. You know what I mean? Because by my time you get to my age and you forget most of it, okay? He says, that I may keep your word, that I never depart from your judgments. Oh, how sweet are your words to my taste. Oh, they're sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your word, I get understanding. I hate every false way. Let me read it again. How sweet are your words to my taste. Look back at verse 15. It says, Timothy, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. You know what that Jewish mother and that Jewish grandmother did to Timothy when he was growing up, when he was little, from the moment he could start understanding? You know what they would do? They would take a little dip of honey and they would read the old covenant to maybe the Psalms or the prophet. And then they put that honey on his mouth, into his mouth, and it was sweet to his taste. Are you following me? I'm going to ask you a question. Moms and dads, I love you. I know you have the hardest job in the world raising your children in this generation. I know you do. I know how hard it is. But I am telling you, you have to teach your children. You have to prepare your children to be born to parents. I would have given anything to have been born to parents who love Jesus Christ. I mean, who love the Lord. I mean, to be raised in a Christian home that loves Jesus, to be taught the Word of God from childhood like Timothy was. Parents, listen to me. I tell you, the Bible is your greatest instruction manual on raising your children, on how to raise them, on how to love them, on how to guide them, how to teach them to pray. It's all right there for you. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:4, it says, and you fathers, and may I include mothers too, it says, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up. In other words, nourish them up to maturity from infancy all the way on up in the training or the discipline and admonition. That means instruction or putting the words into their mind. It says, admonition, and it all centers around one person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what parents are to do. Now, let me ask you a question, and I say this with tenderness. Your child, my child, when Thomas was born, listen, when children come into this world, do they come into the world with an empty mind? That's a hard question, Bill. I mean, they come into the world and things start coming into their minds. Well, I hope it comes from you, because their mind comes into this world and it's empty. They don't know right. They don't know wrong. They don't know Jesus. They don't know the Holy Spirit. They don't know anything but except what you do. They don't know what prayer is. But see, you can take a little honey in the Word of God and it makes it sweet. Are you following me? Oh, listen, your goal, loved one, mom, dad, is not parental authority. I know that that's my way, the highway. That's not, no. It's not parental authority. It's God's authority you want to teach them. See, you want to give them a biblical worldview. Because, see, they don't know that they have an enemy. But, see, the Bible tells us that we have an enemy. Amen? They don't know that they're not prepared for real life at all. And they grow up, is this world in darkness? Okay, we live in a dark world, don't we? And they live in a dark world. The Bible tells us this. You know what the Bible is? The Bible is light. That's what it is. Let me give the scripture. Psalm 119, 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet. You know that scripture. And a light to my path. You see, children, and we, all of us, don't we need a light to light up the way we travel in this world? So we, step by step, we just do it with the Word of God. See, if we don't have the Word, we don't have the light. And we need it. I don't know why any parent that calls himself a Christian would ever neglect training their children. You say, well, Bill, we bring them to church. Yeah, but 2 hours a week's not going to cut it, guys. And if you only come once a month, you know that.
Hey, there's so much more to this message, and we look forward to being with you again tomorrow. We want to thank you for listening today. Until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.